Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Max, and welcome to the Her Story, Her Journey podcast, where we highlight the extra that's in every woman. Guys, I'm so glad you joined us today as we spotlight Dawn Hewitt, who's a certified holistic health counselor, and she's also a writer for KUO Magazine. Dawn writes extensively on the benefits of holistic eating. But as always, I know my guests do a much better job than I do of introducing themselves. So, Dawn, please tell our audience about who you are.
First of all, I want to thank you, Dr. Max, for having me on. This is such a huge honor. And so yes, I have been writing for something that I'm really, really passionate about, traditional medicine, which includes holistic health and holistic eating, et cetera. I've been writing a column for KUO Magazine on that subject, and it has just enriched my life because I just live for sharing this information, especially with our community, the not only the Caribbean or African American community, but just the wider community of the diaspora. It's as I said, it enriches me. It fulfills me. And I also contribute every Thursday. I contribute a 1 minute health tip to a show on WOKB called Star with Andrea Jackson. And like I said, those are I live for those moments. It's absolutely a privilege.
Well, Dawn, I'm going to tell you that the privilege is also mine. We're going to be talking about a subject that for a lot of people, we're hesitant to talk about it. It brings such mixed emotions, fear, anxiety, sometimes shame. But it is necessary because a lot of times people are struggling with it and they just don't talk about the fact that they experience sometimes the feeling of wanting to kill themselves, suicidal thoughts. And we keep thinking that if we don't address it, it'll go away, but it's not. The research actually shows that talking about it actually is very significant in helping someone to reconsider or to get help. And so we are actually very committed to talking about this. And so Dawn is going to share her story with us because, like me, she wants to ensure that whatever she has gone through, if she can take that and make sure she reaches out and help one other person, she's going to do that. So Dawn, whenever you're ready, you go ahead and just share with our audience when that suicidal thought came up for you and you had to reach down inside of you and get something extra.
Yes. So in December of 2020, on Christmas Day, while I was preparing the meal with my family and we were almost ready to eat, we got this shocking news that my cousin Andrew had passed away earlier that day. And it was so shocking and such a great loss because he was somebody who was just like a light. Any room that he walked into, he brought joy and laughter, and he never had a negative word to say about anybody. And he was he has two daughters, and his wife, he was her support and she was his. So she had breast cancer that had spread to other organs, and she wasn't responding to chemo at that time. So to lose him, it was very devastating for the family and for me personally. That night when I went to bed, I just got caught up in this whirlwind of just like, you know, just thinking about how little time I had spent with him in recent years, and how he was somebody that I always thought that, you know, I would be around and we would have opportunities to be, you know, to enjoy each other's company more. And then, you know, that led to just, it just triggered a lot of other negative memories of devastating occurrences or events in my life. And it started to just plague me, that feeling of like questioning what it was that I had to live for, you know, and that if you could lose somebody like that so unexpectedly, that, you know, life was just like too unpredictable, too unfair. And I started to, that was the start of kind of like a downward spiral emotionally. And by mid-February, I just was a complete mess emotionally. I was struggling to function. I was forgetting to eat. I was forgetting to drink water, take my supplements, and not answering people's calls or texts or emails. And I just, it was really, really bad. Because I think when you get to the point where you're not nourishing your body, it actually exacerbates the emotional pain that you're in, because your body your body is crying out for the nutrition that it needs, and there's, you know, there's a connection to your mental state and your emotional health. So I got to the point one night where I started thinking of, it would be just much easier if I didn't exist. It would be much easier to not, you know, be alive. And it's weird because that thought, it kind of like snuck up on me from the back of my mind. And it wasn't like something that I expected or something that even made sense to me, but it persisted and it grew. And it was kind of insidious in that way. And so one night when it was just the thought, okay, so the thought was the thought of like this idea of like not wanting to live. It was so overwhelming, and so I couldn't think about much else, and I knew that I needed help. So I did something different than what I usually do. Instead of just internalizing and thinking, telling myself to get over it, I called my friend at 1 a.m. And when I called her, though, I realized that she had work in the morning. So I hung up before she answered. And then I ended up looking up the number for the suicide prevention hotline. And I was on hold with them when my friend called. called me back, Rebecca, and she stayed up with me until 3 a.m. She let me vent. She's just an amazing person. She was just, she gave me her shoulder to cry on over the phone. And she reminded me that, I have a future to look forward to. And that it was okay to be sad about my cousin's death, and but that I needed some help, and there's nothing wrong with that. So my next appointment with my therapist, we were talking, and I almost didn't mention this because I don't know, I just, something within me wanted to cover it up, but I did, I made myself just tell her, I think I need to talk to someone in medication management because I feel like I'm sinking and I need a lifeline. And she said, she knows that I hate medication and that, it doesn't really fit in with my holistic health thing. But she said, she said that sometimes people are trying to swim and the current is taking them away, and they need that lifeline. And then once they get to the point they have their footing on the dry land, then, you'd be able to branch out and get back into your herbs, et cetera.
I think that is amazing advice. I just wanted to repeat that. Sometimes you're okay swimming along for a while, but then something happens and the current is too strong. And it's important that during that time, you hold on to a lifeline until you get back into a space where you are able to swim again. That is awesome advice.
Yeah, she took my breath with that.
It's amazing. I just wanted to repeat that so someone can hear it. And so, Dawn, I want to go back and explore what you said. Here you are, you're in therapy. But the thoughts of, I shouldn't be here anymore, or why bother living, were so much, even though you were sitting in front of your therapist, that you had to reach out to the suicide hotline. And you didn't get them, but you were able to reach out to your friend, and your friend kind of held you safe, held you in that moment until you were in a space that you were actually treading water for, Yes. But then when you go back in front of your therapist, you're still hesitant to talk about it.
Yes.
What was going on there?
I call it being Jamaican. there is this, I feel like in my family, and the women are really tough. The women are fighters. They are, and they don't seem to, I'm sure internally it's a different story, but outwardly, they don't seem to have much time for like self-pity and getting emotional over things. And so I feel like I was raised to think that the appearance of strength will manifest into strength. And actually, it's the opposite for me personally.
Well, not just for you, but for many women, women, especially women, depending on our cultural background, and women of color, we tend to think that we have to power through everything, that getting help is a sign of weakness, And a sign of weakness means you'll never come back, right? It's that in itself feels like you're drowning. And so oftentimes we will choose to drown because the fear of someone thinking we're weak and possibly taking advantage of us, that needs to maintain that facade and that public face while we're silently screaming behind it. While inside of our eyes, sometimes there's a quiet desperation of, do they see me? But also the fear of, do they see me? So, I mean, it just touches my heart that somewhere in there, you were able to step past those particular things and to hold on to the human side of yourself and to say, this human being needs your help for this moment. And I am so glad you did that. I'm so glad you did that. And this topic is near and dear to my heart because a lot of my clients struggle with it a lot, and helping them to unpack and dismantle the supposedly protective factors, which is always be strong, always be capable, always, you know, never show weakness. Those are supposed to be protective factors, but what they really can become is a double-edged sword. They will keep people out, but it also keeps help out. So in terms of looking back on that situation, I heard you say, I realized I couldn't do it on my own. What did that feel like for you?
It was scary. At the same time that it was like, it opened up a door of like a possibility of saving myself and changing, you know, possibly changing my life in a positive way. But that doorway was unknown and it was scary. But, you know, having stepped through it, through that door, you know, you find out that there's nothing bad about it. There's nothing bad about it except for when you have those momentary backsliding, you know, that of like, what are you doing? You know, you're pretending to be okay, but no, I have learned how to deal with the negative self-talk, and it's still a work in process, but I know that those ideas of like, are you worth all of this? Or is this selfish? Or, you know, you should be paying attention to other things rather than just being so self-centered. But, you know, it's like they tell you on the plane, if you don't put your oxygen on first, you're not going to be good for anybody.
That is so true. And I'm so glad you brought that up because you actually went a little bit ahead because that's the question I was going to ask you. You know, oftentimes part of the issue that shows up for us, especially as women, is thinking that when we're indulging in self-care, we question, are we worthy of that self-care? Are we being selfish to think so much of ourselves, to think that we're that valuable? Shouldn't we be able to push through and move on? And aren't we wasting those resources? Isn't it selfish not to be taking care of someone else instead of sitting there laying around, pampering yourself and wasting your time? It's almost like that inner voice saying that if you put that oxygen mask on first, even though it's a matter of life and death, there's sometimes that voice inside that says, no, you're being selfish if you're putting that mask on. You should give that to someone else because that's going to be better for them. So, you know, in terms of going through, because you said it's still a struggle and it's a struggle for many women, how do you maintain your self-care despite that inner voice that sometimes says to you, what are you doing being so selfish? How do you maintain the self-care?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I had my previous session was with my therapist was on this past Friday. And And we were talking about that because I was telling her that, you know, I have such a hard time meditating because that's what I thought I needed to do to quell those other, you know, like you said, those your own detractors that are telling you you're not worth it. And she said, you know, meditation is not for everybody. She said, you like doing things, you like taking actions, and why not think about those actions as being therapeutic? So I crochet, and I write, and well, sometimes struggle with writer's block, but I'm thinking about pulling out my sewing machine, and you know, it's just it's things of that nature. Walking is really good. Like it's like somebody had once referred to it as meditation in motion. You know, where you're doing something that has a certain rhythm to it, and it brings you into that like kind of Zen space. So that's one of the biggest coping. And I recently gotten back into cooking more, which I absolutely love.
And it's so important that you make sure that this is something that works for you. Too often we hear all these catchphrases, or we see the buzz thing, it's the next hot thing to do, and we're so busy trying to do that thing that we forget that that's not the thing that makes our soul sing. And so a part of self-care has to be having an in-depth understanding of yourself and the things that bring you joy. And it doesn't have to serve anybody else. Just make sure it serves you. So amazing, amazing, amazing tip. Of course, you know, I'm going to ask now, if you had to look back, Dawn, during that time when you were struggling with the thoughts and they kept coming and you tried, right? You were in therapy, the thoughts were coming. You're a holistic person, you're practicing that, but the thoughts kept coming. You found all different things to do, but the thoughts kept coming. And then you reached out. What would you have done differently as you were looking back? And as those thoughts kept coming, what would you have done?
I would say that that different thing that I would do is to automatically value myself the way I would somebody else in that situation. Like if I had gotten that call at 1 a.m., like how, you know, the way my friend responded to me so lovingly and so supportively, I would have been a shoulder for that person, and I need to value myself enough to realize that, you know, some of this struggle is unnecessary. If you understand, as and this kind of just ties back into everything we've been talking about with women taking the back seat, and seeing it as selfish to, as you said, indulge in self-care. And I wish I had just not waited until it got so painful.
Awesome, awesome. You know, and you said something that kind of touched my heart, and you're just saying all these profound things. So I wish I had pen and paper, but I don't, because multitasking doesn't work for me, so I'm not going to do it. But you did just say, I wish I had responded to myself in the same loving way that I would have responded if someone else had reached out to me. And isn't that the truth? The compassion, the love, and the care that we will show to someone else, we often will not show it to ourselves. So that's awesome. I think that's an awesome tip. Guys, if you're listening out there, show yourself at least the same amount of self-compassion that you would show to someone outside of you.
Absolutely.
All right. So, as we are getting ready to wrap up, Because this is so near and dear to Dawn's heart, she has been putting together some stories that she's about to put in a book that she's going to publish, talking about some of her experiences and the ways in which she coped and the way that she integrated holistic eating and health into maintaining a balanced life, which is awesome. But Dawn, you're also up to something else because you're a woman on a mission. Let's talk a little bit about the show that you're going to be a part of, the panel that you're going to be a part of coming up soon.
Thank you so much. So I'll be a part of a panel with amazing people who will be on the Glow 365 show, hosted by Mia Almond, who is also the founder of KUO Magazine. The show is scheduled for Tuesday, May 10th, the 17th, and sorry, Tuesday, May 10th, 17th, and 24th. In 2022, and we'll be working as we bring awareness about mental illness and the story of surviving suicide. And that's going to include on the panel Evangelist Laquana Glasser, also known as Lady Q, Maria Mixon, also known as Rhea, and Ruby Mabry, and myself and Mia.
And I am also going to be a part of the panel. So I'll be there as the clinical psychologist. And we're also going to be joined by a grief recovery specialist and a soul therapist. So, guys, we are going to actually do this as a series. So, all of the ladies that you heard Dawn mention are also going to be guests on the show where we're going to continue this because it is a serious issue and it's time we stop sweeping it under the rug. It doesn't go away. You can cover it with lipstick, it's not going to go away. And I think, again, as the data shows, the best thing that we can do in helping ourselves and helping others is having honest, compassionate, helpful conversations about what can happen. It doesn't mean that you're weak. You know, as you mentioned, you're from a tribe of strong women, right? But that very strength can turn around and become a barrier to us seeking assistance when the human side of us shows up. So, guys, we're going to constantly post information about the show. Please, please, please join us when we do it. You won't regret it. It's going to be an awesome panel. But, Dawn, as we are just about to wrap up, please tell people how to reach you if they want to.
Yes, absolutely. Feel free to reach out to me via email at dawn@dawnhewitt.com. So that's Dawn at Dawnhewitt.com. And on Instagram, you can always interact with me at Dawn Shireen. So Dawnsheren.
Awesome. And we're also going to, as always, put Dawn's information up on the Her Story, Her Journey Instagram page. So, as we have just finished listening to Dawn share her story of how she had to pull on that extra inside of her when she suffered the unexpected loss of her beloved cousin Andrew, and how that led to a spiral of her going down and going down, not practicing self-care, not eating until she got to the point where she felt like life wasn't worth living anymore and started to have serious thoughts of suicidal attempts. And thank God she didn't do that, but the ideation was strong enough and she was able to reach out and someone reached back when she reached out and held on to her until she's here also now hand out telling people I also have a hand in terms of the books I'm writing, the shows that I'm doing as a handout so that I can reach out for the next person who needs me. So once again, I am Dr. Max. And I absolutely love spotlighting women and talking about just how extraordinary we turn up to be when we are challenged in our ordinary lives and have to reach deep down inside of us. So thanks, guys, for joining us on the Her Story, Her Journey podcast. And if you want to share your story, or if you would know a woman who'd like to do that, please send me a DM on Instagram at herstory.herjourney. That's herstory.herjourney. And remember, guys, 2 Corinthians verse 10, For when I am weak, then I am is strong.